We preached a few weeks ago that, you know, everybody needs a crutch. What was it? Was it Lennon? One of those guys said that religion's a crutch. I don't really care. Amen. I admit I need one. I need somebody to lean on sometimes. Amen. And so does everybody else. Some people lean on alcohol or drugs or some other thing. Amen. But I lean on the Lord. Amen. And He's steadfast. And He never lets us down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand together tonight. Thank you for being here on this Independence Day to celebrate the Lord and His goodness. Good to see all of our friends and guests here. Amen. Grandparents and grandchildren. Amen. And we're happy to have you all here tonight. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to the book of Proverbs, to the 16th chapter, 32nd verse. It said, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Everybody say, "He that ruleth his spirit is than he that taketh the city." And then Proverbs 25:28 said, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls." Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about your attitude determines your altitude. That's right. Your attitude determines your altitude. Amen. How high you're going to go, how high you're going to fly, how successful you're going to be with your life, whatever you endeavor to do or be, it's your attitude that's going to determine all that. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Edgar A. Guest wrote a poem that said, somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be the one who wouldn't say no till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled a thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has ever done it." But he took off his coat, took off his hat. The first thing he knew, he'd begun it. The lift of his chin and a bit of a grin without any doubting or quit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that await to assail you. But just buckle right in with a bit of a grin and take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. It has a whole lot to do with what you determine you're going to do. And a right attitude is very important in life. The Bible calls it spirit. A broken spirit, a contrite spirit. And toward God is a good thing. But a broken spirit, a human spirit, is a bad thing. There are some people that are so broken, they can't seem to believe they can do anything or accomplish anything. But that's not true. What has the little boy said? I believe it was Brother Bacon that preached it to us last Sunday over in Canton. Amen. He said, amen. God didn't make any nobodies. God made everybody somebody. And the little boy said, "I'm somebody because God didn't make no junk." Amen. And I agree with it. Praise God. I think one of the greatest things you can do is to appreciate what God's given you. Amen. That's right. And a good attitude is important in life, folks. It's an insult to God for us to go around with a hangdog attitude and depressed spirit and discouraged and can't do anything. Ain't nobody, never will be, never was. Nobody in my family ever was. God made you. God made you. God made you. God saved you. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ought to get the biblical attitude. Paul, what did he say? Did he say, "I can't do nothing"? Huh? What did he say? He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, that's the right attitude, because God has given us a job to do, and He intends us to be about it. And we can get it done if we'll have the right attitude. Amen. It's important that we do that. Did you know that attitudes are chosen? Everybody say chosen. Nobody can give you an attitude. You have to choose one. There were two old farmers. One of them was a pessimist. Everything was dark. The other one was optimistic. Everything was good. And they'd sit on the porch, and one would say to his buddy, he'd say, "Man, isn't this a beautiful day?" He said, "If that sun gets any hotter, it's going to burn up the crops." And then it would rain, and he'd say, "My, isn't this a fine rain?" He'd say, "Well, as long as it don't flood and mess everything up." I mean, he just never could find anything good. Everything was always negative. And finally he told him, he said, I've got the finest hunting dog you've ever seen. He said, "You mean that old mutt tied up behind your house? I don't believe he could hunt a thing." So he said, "Well, let's go hunting." And then they went duck hunting and sitting out in the boat shooting ducks, and they shot several ducks and they fell to the water. That dog bailed off into the water. And I'm telling you, friend, he didn't swim. He walked on the water. Walked on the water. Got the ducks and started back walking on the water. The guy turned to him and said, "What do you think of my dog now?" And he said, "Can't swim, can he?" You can't. Some people just determine to have bad attitude. They just can't see good in anything. And that's life. Attitudes are chosen. Our attitudes are influenced by input. Everybody say input. What does they say? Garbage in, garbage out. Amen. What you put in, that's what's in there. Amen. So our attitudes are influenced by what we put in to our minds, into our hearts, into our spirits, what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, what we think about. Those are the things that develop our attitudes. Amen. Everything you hear, have heard, everything you see, that's all a part of your attitude. It determines that. So if you're around negative all the time, guess what? You're going to be negative. It's like the guy who fell asleep and his friend came in and put some of that old stinky Limburger cheese under his nose. And he woke up and he said, "Oof, the whole world stinks." Well, not necessarily. Amen. It was just right now, you just got a little problem. That'll go away. So what we put in is what influences our attitude. If you think you can, then chances are real good that you will. If you think you can't, chances are real good that you won't. So you'll be right either way. But why don't you think you can? Amen. I like solutions, don't you? I don't like to look at problems just to look at problems. I like to, if we're going to talk about problems, all right, let's talk about it, but let's find a solution, because there is one. There is one. Amen. Input. It's very important what we think and how we, what we put into our minds, we put into our hearts, and be careful what you put in. Be careful what you put into your children. I said be careful what you put into your children. Amen. If you have bitterness, you can put bitterness in your kids. If you're full of doubt, you can put doubt in your kids. If you're full of fear, you'll put fear in your kids. One of the saddest things I ever heard was, I was somewhere. There was a little boy there. He's probably about 6 years old, maybe seven. And I was so saddened, because the poor little fella, every word out of his mouth was about danger. He said, "My mama says I can't drink Cokes because they got caffeine in them. Caffeine's bad for me." And he knew about cholesterol. He knew about caffeine. He knew about all this stuff. And everything was a danger. Everything was going to kill him. And he's 5 or 6 years old. And he's already worried about all that stuff. But we have created a nanny state like that. That's all we talk about, is the dangers. There are places that have taken out the playgrounds where kids can't play anymore because they might get hurt. Well, guess what? They are going to. If you don't put something that's safe to climb on, they'll climb a tree. They're going to do something. At least I hope they do. I hope we don't raise a generation of sissies that are afraid to get dirty or anything else. Lord, have mercy. What's our army going to look like in 20 years? Amen. We need some people that are down to earth, that understand life. Amen. But we put these fears into children, and this bothers me a good bit. I think of a lot of the teachings that go on in school about global warming and such things. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. If it's warming, it's warming. How are you going to change that, Brother Martin? Well, if it's probably warmed in the past. And guess what? It's going to get cold again. And we can't change that. So why in the world should you put a bunch of fear and negativity in the hearts of a group of kids in the classroom over something you can't control anyway? And so it's a world that it's full of negativity and full of fear. Amen. We need to put hope in our children's heart. Amen. We need to put peace and joy in their heart. Amen. Let them enjoy life. And let them get an infectious, good attitude toward life. It's good that we put right things into them. Our attitudes affect our relationships, don't they? Sure they do. Attitudes affect relationships. And you know what makes life up? Relationships. You want a good life? Have good relationships. You want a life that's full of misery? Have bad relationships. But attitude controls relationships in your life. And if you have good relationships with people and a good attitude, then you're going to have good relationships. Folks like to be around somebody that has a good attitude. People don't want to be around somebody that has a bad attitude. Do you like to be around people that are saying bad things and putting people down all the time and putting you down? No, I don't think so. Amen. We like to be around people that are uplifting and encouraging. And Christians ought to be like that. Amen. I said Christians ought to be like that, don't you think? And you know, I've read the Bible from cover to cover, lid to lid, and generations to revolutions. And I never saw Jesus being negative. I never saw Jesus putting himself down. He called a few people snakes and a few things like that, but that was just the truth. He was just trying to help them. You bunch of whited sepulchers. Amen. On the outside you're white and inside you're full of dead men's bones. He was just trying to wake things up. Amen. And but he had a good attitude, and for the most part, he had a great relationship. The Bible said that people were always flocking to him. Multitudes came. Children would sit on his lap because he had a right attitude, and it affected relationships. Our attitudes are both the cause and the result of right behavior. Amen. Proverbs 23:7, we've referred to this a number of times of late, and I guess we always will. It said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your attitude is determined by what you think. Proverbs tells us what to think, doesn't it? Think on good things, pure things, righteous things, honest things, things that have good report. And those are things we're supposed to think on. That develops our thinking, our spirit, our attitude toward life and toward what's good and the things that we need. And so the result of our behavior has to do with our attitude. On the other hand, good behavior also results in a good attitude. Right actions lead to a right attitude. You remember what the Lord told Cain after, and I love this scripture, Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? That's one of my favorite phrases. Your countenance fallen. Have you ever seen watch people's countenance fall? Their whole face just caves in. And you can see something's really wrong when people's countenance is fallen. He said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door to have its desire for you, but you must master it. Amen. So the Lord said to Cain, he said, if you do right, he said, it's going to be right. If you don't do right, then sin's waiting on you, crouching like a lion at the door. And so it was very true. Attitude has everything to do. If you have right attitude, right spirit, amen, then you're going to do the right thing. It has a lot to do with how we accomplish things. Our attitude determines eventually our destiny. Our destiny. Amen. Dennis Waitley wrote a book called Seeds of Greatness. And he did studies on prisoners that had come home from the Vietnam War. And in his book, those that survived intact were people that had a good attitude. They were put in cells that had, they were just bare cells with a bulb hanging down that was never turned off, bright light. And that was all they had. There was nothing in there. There were no books. There was nothing that they could use to distract themselves or entertain themselves. And those that used their imagination to create an atmosphere were the ones that survived. They used their imagination and they created things. Some of them actually recreated the Bible. There's a Bible that was written just from people, things people could remember. And they shared those verses one with another. There's a song book that they put together because even though they were separated, they had a system where they could send a code and they would tap out letters and tap out words and people would write it down and remember it. So they had their own Bible. They had their own song book because they out of their imagination, they created things. Isn't that amazing? God put some good things in your head. Amen. And you need a good imagination. You need a good imagination. Amen. And so it's important that we have a right attitude because it determines our ultimate destiny. There are people that came out of that horrible situation and 7 years of imprisonment, not broken, but whole, because of their attitude. A writer by the name of Norman Cousins observed that the brain is the most prolific gland in the human body, capable of activating both healing secretions and deadly toxins simply by thought. Did you know that your brain, when you think, releases certain chemicals in your body? And if you think positive thoughts, it releases chemicals that are healing. Negative thoughts, it can release toxins in your body just by the way you think. That's scary, isn't it? Amen. That our very brain can poison up if our thoughts are poison. Poison thoughts lead to poison chemicals. Positive thoughts lead to healing chemicals. So I think I'm going to try to think good. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a man one time that was very sick, and he read somewhere in the Bible, I believe it was, that laughter doeth good like a medicine. And so he decided that he was going to laugh. So he gathered the funniest material that he could find, and that was what he started feeding himself on. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. And you know what? It got better. He got better. Laughter is like a medicine. It makes you positive, and it helps reverse a lot of things in your physical body. Laughter is a good thing. Amen. I think it's good to laugh. Somebody one time accused, I believe it was him. Yeah, that guy. Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, that's his name. And somebody accused him one time of being he was just too funny. He had too much humor in the pulpit. They thought that it should be a very serious place. And he said, well, I apologize. He said, but if you knew how much I held back. If you just knew how much I held back. Amen. But it's okay to laugh in life. Laughter's good. Amen. I think laughter's a wonderful thing. And I thank God that I can. Amen. Attitudes always determine your actions or your reactions. There was a guy one time, and he was in a group of people, and he's proving a point. He got a glass, a jar, I should say, and had a little lid, and he loosened the lid kind of on the top of it. And then he started shaking it, and the water started pouring out of it. And then he asked people, he said, why did that water come out? And they said, well, some said it's gravity, and somebody said you didn't have the lid on tight. They had different kinds of reasons. He said, the reason that the water came out of the jar is because it was water was inside the jar. Whatever's inside comes out. Isn't that true? I mean, you can keep a lid on for a while, but after a while it's going to come out. If you're an angry person, you're eventually going to express some anger. Amen. That's how people find themselves in abusive relationships, because in the beginning, it's all roses and sweetness. Amen. But after a while, the anger comes out. That's why you don't need to rush into relationships. Take your time. Amen. And get to know people. And not only how they treat you, but how they treat others. And especially, how do they treat people that they don't need? People that can't add anything or do anything for them. How do they treat people like that? How do they treat what some people would call little people? How do they treat children? How do they treat people that don't agree with them? Amen. It's important that we watch actions, reactions, because that reveals an attitude. The way you act and the way that you react. Because what's on the inside does come out. Does it not? Amen. Yes, it does. Amen. Your attitude is always your choice and responsibility. Uh-huh. It's your choice and your responsibility. Amen. There was a man by the name of Dr. Viktor Frankl. He was captured and sent to a Nazi imprisonment camp in World War II. When he got before that tribunal, they took everything away from him. They took his clothes. They took the wedding ring off of his finger. They took all of his earthly possessions. They left him with nothing. But he said, there's one thing they couldn't take from me, and that was how I would respond to what they did to me. In other words, my attitude. They could not determine. They determined what they did to him, but they didn't determine what he did about it. How he felt about it. How he responded to it. How he allowed it to affect him. That's attitude. And he said, I chose my attitude. And that's true, isn't it? We have this little phrase in our language that we use. We say, oh, he made me mad. Oh. Then you gave him power over you, did you not? You surrendered to his will and to his wish, did you not? Because the only way somebody can make you angry is if you allow them to. That hurts, but it's true. Amen. That's right. You determine how you react. You can't always control what people say and what people do, but you can control how you respond to that. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Amen. So our attitude is always a choice, and it's a responsibility. We're responsible for our attitude. And I think that little phrase is one way of trying to get around that, you know. We want to put the responsibility on somebody else. He did it. He made me like that. If he wouldn't have said that, I would have done that. Well, it's still, it was your responsibility. It was your choice. Amen. And so we choose those things in our lives. Amen. And attitude is a choice. And it's your choice. Yes, it is. How do we develop an attitude in life? What goes into the makeup of an attitude? Where does it come from? I think the basis of it all, first of all, is your temperament. Every human being is born with a temperament. Have you ever wondered why people are the way they are? Everybody's born with a temperament. One field of study has broken it down into five different types of temperaments. And they make sense to me. And I believe that everybody has a temperament. That's your basic, that's who you are. And it determines how you respond in life. Some people are just really laid back. You ever notice that? They're just laid back folks. They just don't let a whole lot ruffle their feathers. They're just laid back. Amen. And those people are, we call them phlegmatics. And then there's other people that they act like they're born on steroids. I mean, from the time they're wired all the time. They're always wired. Always in motion. Always doing things. And they got to be in control, controlling things. Amen. They're the ones that all, they're the boss. Even children. You watch children play. Isn't that right? You watch little kids. One of them's going to be the boss. Somebody is. And that's a choleric personality. And then you've got the little sunshine. That everything's always rosy, always singing, always happy. Amen. And everybody loves them. Everybody's attracted to them because they're popular with everybody. And they just, that's the way they are. When they have a bad day, the whole world is falling apart. And then in 2 minutes, they're back up again and everything's wonderful. Amen. They change best friends real frequently. Whoever they're with is their best friend. You're my best friend in the whole world until somebody else comes along. Sweet little sanguines. Where would we be without them? And then there's little melancholies in the world. Melancholies that aim for perfection, but nothing's ever perfect. Nothing's ever perfect. Amen. A sanguine looks at a field and says, look at all the beautiful yellow flowers. And the melancholy says, yeah, but there's weeds in them. So one sees the flowers and one sees the weeds. That's a melancholy. It's a basic temperament. Some people are just negative by nature, aren't they? That's their temperament. They're negative people. And they have to battle that. Now, they do have strengths, and I'm not getting into the studies tonight. I'm just mentioning some things here. And then you've got the supine. The supine is the servant. I mean, they'll work their fingers to the bone. And they'll serve with a great servitude. And they seem to be inexhaustible to the lengths they'll go to serve somebody and help others. So each of these, it's a trait, it's a temperament that an individual is born with, and that's part of what develops your attitude. Amen. And then there's environment. Environment's another thing that affects everybody. How you grow up, the home you grew up in, the environment you grew up in, the home. Your family, family members, the socioeconomic factor in your life. There's a lot of things that go into your environment, and that does affect your attitude. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, it forms your belief system. Now, a belief system is something that can change throughout life. But you, whatever you're born into, that's the first belief system you're exposed to. And it will affect you in many ways for the rest of your life. From age 1 to 6, word expression is important. What people say about you, really important. That's why the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, words never hurt me, is not true. You know, if you tell a child that they're ugly, then they're going to grow up with the idea they're ugly. If you tell them that they're stupid, they're going to grow up with the idea that they're stupid. Words really affect little children. Very, very much. So we must be very careful, because that's what we put in them. And whether you accept them and affirm them or reject them is another important thing. Amen. Children in age 1 to 6, it's very important that adults can show affirmation in their life. Now, we can go overboard with that. I read somewhere that, and this really I thought was very, very, very apt description. Parents are not meant to be cheerleaders in their children's life. You know what a cheerleader does? Just always prays all the time. Praise, 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 praise. Sis, hurrah, hurrah, always. Oh, that's wonderful. I love the way you made that mess. That's so nice, Roger. What a mess you made. Isn't that the most beautiful mess you've ever seen? Amen, and everything. And oh, I know that you got an elf on this car, but that's the best elf I've ever seen in my life. That's the nicest elf. I love the way the teacher drew that. And it's everything's positive. Oh, everything's enforcement. Oh, cheerleader. That's how you raise a princess that will be destroyed in life, because they'll grow up and thinking the world revolves around them, and then they'll run into a whole bunch more just like them out there. And they clash big time, because everybody's used to being served, and they find out the real world doesn't work like that. Amen. They go on a job, and they actually expect them to work and just do what they tell them to do. But I've never done that. So what? Do it. I'll get my hands dirty. Get them dirty. That's the real world, you know. But if you're raised by a cheerleader, well, it's tough. So you don't want to be raised. You want to be raised by a coach. You know what a coach does? Get the lead out. I can't believe you did that. Get over here. Sit on that bench. Yeah, that's a coach. I mean, he's not going to coddle you, but he looks at your strengths and he knows how to use them, and he looks at your weaknesses, he knows how to strengthen them, and he makes you a better person than you could be by yourself. We need that. That's what we have to have in life, is to not only have people praise our strengths, but look at our weaknesses and help us to strengthen them. Everybody has them, isn't that right? Everybody has them. And so we need a kind of attitude, but we need adult acceptance and affirmation. From age 6 to 10, self-image is very important. How you see yourself, new experiences in life. You're kind of getting out on your own a little bit, getting away just from mom and dad, going into a new experience, in a social environment with other children, other people. And so that's important for you. And then, of course, 11 to 21, that's about peer pressure and physical appearance. That's why a teenager's whole day works on how their hair does or whether they got a new pimple today. Because the whole world revolves around their physical appearance. Everything. Amen. And you know what? I think our nation's becoming more adolescent every day. Because we've got people today that still can't see beyond a physical form. Do you know in the study that was done, men that are 6'2" make more money than men that are 5'8"? Not because they do a better job, but because they just have a better appearance. And they're willing to pay them more. Yeah, we know that, isn't that right? If a homely person and a handsome person go for the same job, who's going to get it? If a skinny, shapely girl goes in and a fat girl goes in, who's going to get the job? No matter your qualifications. That's just life, isn't it? It's the way it is. And so we live in an adolescent society. We live in a society that is so youth-driven that men in their 60s and 70s still using Clairol just like women. The Bible talked about the hoary head or the white head being a sign of wisdom. People used to honor age because it brought wisdom and experience. And now we got people that are old but not wise. Yeah. We got people that are scared to death to get old. Amen. And so they're still dressing like they're 18. still trying to act, still trying to learn the lingo. Amen. Whatever happened to just decent respect? Amen. Just be who you are. Children need moms and dads. They don't need best friends to, and their parents. They need best friends, but they don't need mom and dad for that. You just need to be the one that tells them what's right and wrong. And teach them what's right and wrong. Amen. And let them be children and let them be young people. Amen. But self-image and physical appearance, that's part of developing an attitude, especially when you're young. It is part of it. And I want to give you parents a little heads up here about teenagers. There's not any in here. Just because a teenager acts grown up, they're not. Their brain is still not fully developed. They cannot think like you think because they're not developed yet. They can't get some concepts. They can't understand some things. Have you ever heard a parent telling a young person, why don't you, why? And they're just on them and ragging on them. Well, it's because they can't think that way. They don't have the ability to do so. There's a reason that the military wants to get young men about 18 years of age. Because there's still some things in their head that are not developed yet. And you can hand him a gun and say, charge, man, and you get him all pumped up and he'll charge. You give a 25-year-old guy the same gun and say, charge, and say, give me a card. Amen. Loan me your MasterCard. You want me to charge? I'm sure not taking this gun. Running after somebody. Because he's developed. He's got some judgment. Amen. So just because physically they may look like fully developed, they're not yet. Have a little patience with them. Amen. And they'll get there. But it's important. This all affects their attitude. And then from 21 to 61, your marriage and your family and job and success and all that kind of stuff, that's what determines your attitude. A whole lot of it. You're around an adult community. How they view you can develop a person's attitude. And so these are things that go into the making of a person's attitude in life. And your attitude is what's going to determine your altitude. How high you're going to rise. Amen. I remember a guy in the Bible. Boy, he had a bad attitude. Jesus one day went down to the sheep gate, and there was a pool there. And there was a man laying on the ground that had been there for 38 years, lying there. So Jesus walks up to this man. It's his day. And he says, do you want to be made whole? What did the guy say? I don't have anybody to help me. Well, how did he get there? Somebody carried him there every day for 38 years and laid him there. What do you mean you don't have anybody to help you? Somebody fed him for 38 years. Somebody cared. You got to love somebody to put up with him for 38 years like that. And what was his attitude? Don't nobody care. Nobody loves me. What an attitude. He said, when the water's troubled, I don't have anybody to help me. Somebody else always gets in before I do. What an attitude. And Jesus told the guy, and he said, do you want to be made whole? And he started making excuses. So finally he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he did. A miracle. And you know what? He walked outside and some people saw him. And they said, what are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? He said, oh, it's not my fault. There's a man there called Jesus. He told me to take it up and walk. It's his fault. Attitude. And you know, they tried to stone Jesus that day. I mean, a man he just healed with a rotten, stinking attitude. He got healed, but he didn't lose his attitude. He still was looking to blame everybody else for what happened to him. Wasn't anything going to be his fault. He wasn't appreciative. He didn't give thanks. He should have said, woo! Look at me walk, buddy.
I've been laying there for 38 years. Jesus came along, spoke the word. Now I'm healed. Hey, you're looking at a miracle, friend. But he didn't do that. It's his attitude. He did it. It's his fault. Go get him. Don't talk to me. I guess that's the most dangerous miracle in the Bible. We expect people to be thankful, but not everybody is. Boy, have we ever learned that. Well, I'm trying to be nice here. Amen. One of the costliest things about attitude is labels. Be careful how you label people. We start doing that real early. You ever watch people whenever there's a newborn? It's always funny to watch that. I'm not making any comment here out of the way. I'm just observing humanity. But have you ever watched how we do this? We gather around and we say, "Oh, look, he's got so and so's eyes, and he's got so and so's nose, and he's got so and so's chin, and so and so's hands and feet." And, you know, we just start ascribing all these different parts, breaking them into pieces, and, you know, doling them out. Uncles and aunts and moms and dads and cousins. And it's just how we do. It's what we are. We just do that. Amen. But you got to be careful labeling. You got to be careful labeling. And there was a young man by the name of, when he grew up, a boy by the name of Adam Clark. He grew up in Ireland. And when his dad took him to school, he told the teacher, he said, "I don't think he can learn much." His dad said that. "I don't think he can learn much." But the teacher looked at him and said, well, he looks smart to me. And that one phrase changed his life. He became one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s. He wrote a commentary. I got one right in there on my shelf. Adam Clark Commentary. He wrote some other Christian books that became classics. One of the greatest preachers of his day and still influenced people today. And all these hundreds of years, 200 years later, people are still using his materials. Because somebody said, "Oh, he looks smart to me." But labels can destroy people. Amen. And self-placed limitations. I was reading, I thought this was very interesting. There was a guy by the name of Johnny Weissmuller. You know who he was? Tarzan. That's how most people do it. But he was an Olympic swimmer, and he was the greatest swimmer in his day. He set 50 records, and doctors and coaches said they'll never be never, his records will never be broken. Don't ever say that. Do you know who breaks his records today? 13-year-old girls. The records that he set in 1936 are the qualifying records for 1972. You don't even get to compete unless you can beat what he did. You see how things change? Limitations. Limitations. I wish I could remember who it was and when, but back in, I think it was the early 1900s, whoever was in charge of the U.S. Patent Office said, "We might as well shut this down. Anything worth ever being invented has been invented by now." Back in the 30s, said, "Anything worth ever having, we've got it right now. Not ever going to get any better than this." Well, it has gotten better in some ways. I mean, air conditioning was invented after that. Amen. A lot of interesting stuff. Isn't it amazing? Limitations people put on themselves. This will never be broken. I mean, that's the best there is right there. Don't ever get any better than this. In some ways it does. Amen. Limitations. 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 I've never seen this, but I read about it. Have you ever watched train fleas? Anybody ever seen train fleas? Hey, tell me there's such a thing. that you can get a fleas and put them in a jar and put a lid on it. And those fleas will jump up and hit that lid and get little Excedrin headaches. Until after a while, you can take the lid off and they'll only jump so high. That's as high as they'll go. They could jump higher. They could get out. But they've been conditioned by limitations to say, uh-uh, I'm not hitting my head again. And that's as high as they'll go. They'll jump up to the top of the jar and they'll go back down. That's as high as they'll go. And they're there for somebody's amusement because somebody trained them that you can't do any more than this right here. This is as high as you'll ever be able to go. And they'll never go any higher. That's it. And, you know, they can take an elephant, a full-grown male elephant, that can pretty much knock a tree down. And they can take a chain and tie it to a little old stake they drove in the ground. And he'll stand right there. He won't move. You know why he does that? Because when he was little and weak, they drove a stake in the ground and tied him to a chain. And he pulled and he did everything he could and he couldn't get away. So he just gave up. So even though he grew in strength and majesty and power, he came to a place in life, he just, as soon as a chain's tied to him, he said, well, that does it. I can't do anything now. I tried. When I was little, I tried. And I couldn't do anything, so I can't do anything now. And he'll stand there. Limited. Amen. And I'm not just giving us a pep talk here tonight, but I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. There are things that we can do. Brother Martin, as you were talking about your prison experience there, I just thought back to some of my experiences in Columbia, very similar. And it's one of the most, it's amazing. At the same time, it's dawning that you see a group of people come down to get the Holy Ghost and you can't even get to them. We would have meetings and 15,000 people, 15,000 people in the stadium, and we just kept getting threats from the fire department. They're going to close us down because they'd flock down to the front and nobody could get out. There'd been a fire. We would all been killed because you couldn't move. They get out in the aisles and they were packed. Around the front was packed. And of course, on the platform, you're stuck. You prayed you didn't have a fire because you'd be the first to go. But people come and there'd be hundreds of them, but at the same time, my, what an opportunity! It was beautiful to watch God just step in and do things. We couldn't do it traditionally. We couldn't say, you know, if you need healing, come on down and we'll anoint you and pray for you. Amen. But you couldn't do that because they were all out there and there were people here and they couldn't get down there, and so you just lift your hand up and pray for somebody. Amen. And then suddenly somebody'd get up out of a wheelchair, nobody touching them, and somebody'd lift their crutches up over their head and start shouting and dancing and praising God and all kinds of miracles going on. And there wasn't any human being doing any of that. It was God orchestrating all of it. And if he can do it there, he can do it here. I said if he can do it there, he can do it here. If he can do it there, he can do it here. If he'll do it for them, he'll do it for us. Amen. But we got to get rid of limitations. Amen. Get rid of limitations. What we think, well, you know, that's wonderful what's happening over there, but what about here? Yeah, what about here? Amen. It can happen here, can it not? I said it can happen here, can it not? Just the same. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the same here as he is there. He's omnipresent everywhere he is. He's all that he is. He has no limitations today. Amen. And so we must allow ourselves, stretch your imagination, your faith. Amen. Believe God for great things. Amen. What do you want God to do? Amen. You stretch your imagination. You believe God. Have faith that he's going to do things that are above and beyond anything that you've ever seen before. But he's greater than that. He can do more. It doesn't matter how much he's already done. He can do more. Praise the Lord. I said he can do more. He can do more. He can do more. Amen.
kind of like the little boy went out in the cornfield and he reached over and grabbed an ear, I mean a stalk of corn, and he started pulling on it, and all of a sudden it turned loose, came out of the ground. He got a big old smile on his face. His dad said, "Boy, you did good, son. You're strong." He said, "Yeah." He said, "It was me on one end and the whole world on the other end." Whole world on the other end. And he was able to pull that stalk out of the ground. And that's an attitude right there. Amen. Amen. We got to decide what we want in life. Choose your attitude, and you'll choose your life. What kind of life you want. Choose purpose over aimlessness. Perseverance over defeat. Faith over worry. Repentance over guilt. Relaxation over stress. Contentment over comparison. I'll choose forgiveness over bitterness. I'll choose productivity over laziness. I'll choose humility over pride. I'll choose companionship over loneliness. I'll choose relationships over isolation. It's all about what I want and what I determine I'm going to have in my attitude. Amen. My attitude. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Our attitude. It's very, very important. Our spirit, if you will. Amen. What you want in life, what you determine you're going to have in life. Romans 5, verse 5 through 8, said, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Because the carnal mind, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We have to make some decisions what we're going to do here. Amen. Spiritual, carnal. Amen. Flesh or spirit. That determines the kind of person we're going to be. You're going to be a spiritual person? Pursue spiritual things. Amen. Pursue prayer. Read your Bible. Think right. Talk right. Be around the right kind of people. Amen. I said be around the right kind of people. Hallelujah. It's important that we learn to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's determined. Our attitude determines our altitude. How high do you want to go? What do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish in your life for God? Amen. That's your determination. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the apostles were great men. And God matched them with that generation. But He matched us with this generation. And I, for one, do not believe that God intends to have an inferior church with the greatest need that's ever been on the earth. There are more people today than there's ever been. There are greater needs today than there's ever been. And I don't think God has an anemic church to meet that generation. Hello? I said, I don't think God intends to have an anemic church to meet that generation. I believe He has answers today. For every soul in Athens, Texas, God has an answer for them. And God has a church. Amen. I said, God has a church that can help. Anybody believe that tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Amen. I'd like to see a little more enthusiasm, but amen. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Our God is great. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. He does all things well. Amen. And we are His ambassadors, the Bible said. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you tonight. Amen. Let's develop the right attitude.
and right spirit so we can do the things that God has designed for us to do. He's matched us with this city in this hour and this generation, and He wants us to accomplish His purpose and His will in these days. Amen. God of heaven, thank You tonight. You know what You have placed in my life. Help me to understand that. You have given me marvelous gifts tonight. Some things that are far beyond my imagination and certainly beyond my abilities. But help me, God, to understand tonight that I'm here to represent You. And You can do anything. Where You can find a willing vessel. Where You can find a witness and a mouthpiece. Where You can find willing hands, a willing heart, a willing mind. Amen. God, You can do things that are exceedingly powerful and great. We ask You to help us tonight, God, not to be limited. But help us, oh God, to believe You for ever greater things. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's in me, bless His holy name. Amen. Thank you. And God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. And Sunday afternoon in Canton. And Sunday night again. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Oh.